Podcast. Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice, hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signing.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Pulse of the Pack. In case you can't tell by my tone of voice, this is a much happier version of Pulse of the Pack than we had a week ago at this time. It is Sunday night at 10 o'clock here at Lambeau time, and the Green Bay Packers have survived in advance. They moved on. They beat the Washington Redskins, and they will now move on to face the Arizona Cardinals next week. We have a lot to talk about on this show, and it'll be much more upbeat than last week's show was. I am your host, Jacob Westendorf, enjoying some, we'll call them victory beverages here at my disposal. Don't worry, I'm not too many in deep, so I'm not going to go crazy here in the middle of the show. But I am enjoying a Packers victory because every playoff win is special. With me, as always, is Jason Perrone in his final day in the desert. And Jason, I just want you to know it was frigid today in the Midwest. I'm sure all of you watched the Minnesota game today. It was also anywhere from 8 to 10 degrees as a high today in Rockford, Illinois. So, Jason, it's your final days in Arizona. How are you doing, and how are you looking forward to moving to a very sad and dejected Vikings country?
Well, before we get to that, Jacob, if you're not going to go crazy in the middle of the show, then I'm disappointed that we decided to record today, because that's the whole reason why I said we had to go today. I want to hear crazy Jacob. So maybe consider downing another libation or two. I know you and I have debated about the best shots to take. I'm a little bit of more of a Jameson kind of guy. I know that you're not always unnecessarily on board with that. So you and I, being as close as we're going to be, we're going to have to figure that out pretty quickly, because we're going to be sharing some libations in person at a more frequent basis. But, yes, for those listeners out there, obviously, you know, moving the family to balmy Minneapolis, Minnesota, and actually what's funny is the moving truck is actually held up by a day, so we're not going to get out of here probably until Tuesday. So I get an extra, you know, as my prize for the Packers victory, I get an extra day in Arizona before I have to get in the car and trek across country, because we're gonna drive our cars. We have our stuff moved, but we're gonna drive our cars. But all I kept thinking about as the Packers were wrapping up this victory was how much sweeter 3 days, two and a half, 3 days worth of driving is going to be listening to the NFL radio talking about the Packers' outstanding performance against the Washington Redskins and how much potential they might have this time against the Arizona Cardinals. So this will be my last show from Arizona, and we're going to be in the same time zone, Jacob. How does that sound?
Sounds really good. I'm looking forward to training camp, Lambeau outings, the Hall of Fame, whatever it is, all kinds of different stuff we could do. And Jason, by request, there's another libation as you asked. As far as shots to take that are interesting, anything other than that nasty-ass Irish car bomb that you got me last year when you came down here for the Patriots game will do for me. But, yeah, like you said, the Packers.
Hey, remember, the Packers did win that game, though.
They did. They won 26-21 over the New England Patriots. It's one of my favorite regular season wins in Packers history. Today was not a regular season win, but still very enjoyable. And first we must start, as we did after the Minnesota game, both of us picked the Washington Redskins by a pretty significant margin. I think both of us had them by double digits. I'm just going to say we must eat crow. state our case and accept that we were wrong. I'm sorry. The Packers have given me no reason to believe in them after the way they finished their season. But if there's one thing I've learned in the NFL, and that's something that we'll talk about a little bit later as we go around the league a little bit, quarterback play matters. And Aaron Rodgers is far superior to Kirk Cousins, and I'm going to reference him a lot, spoiler alert, in the rest of this show. I've eaten my crow. Mike McCarthy, Aaron Rodgers, you've proven me wrong again, and I am more than happy to be wrong on this occasion. Jason, here is your plate. State your case.
I stated on Twitter earlier today that I have eaten crow so many times this season that I think I'm actually acquiring a taste for it, and I think I'm actually starting to crave it. It doesn't bother me anymore, and it's kind of like that rare person that you come across that actually likes liver and onions. So, yeah, you know, I legitimately did not feel good about this game, and I've been picking against the Packers on purpose to try to create the reverse jinx effect. But I think, you know, one of my cohorts, I guess I'd call him, although he's very well renowned and respected, writes for Sports Illustrated, Peter Bukowski, summed it up best today when he said, for those of you who picked Washington over Green Bay, in the end, just realize that you were picking Kirk Cousins over Aaron Rodgers. And I get that Rodgers has had his struggles. He hasn't played well. But like you said, Jacob, quarterback play matters. And, man, if there was a week when Aaron Rodgers was going to pull it together and get back to his old self, it had to be this week, obviously, in a do or die. It was good to see some deeper passes, some balls floating, giving the receivers a chance to make the catches, to see receivers making catches, to see receivers somewhat open. I mean, we saw the ball get spread all over the place. You know, it was a great effort. But like you said, Jacob, absolutely, quarterback play, huge. Big test coming up in the desert. It's going to be Carson Palmer, Aaron Rodgers, the Redux. I think it's going to be a little bit different this time, but that's going to be one heck of a matchup. You know, both defenses are going to have their hands full.
In my opinion, if the Packers can play like today, that is the best matchup of the weekend. Pretty close with Seattle and Carolina. I'm looking forward to those as well. And we'll talk about those games as we go forward. Jason, you mentioned how the Packers kind of pulled it together and it looked like they knew what the hell they were doing, and it did not start that way. After the first quarter, the Packers were on pace for 44 yards of offense. They gained 11 yards on their first play. Their next 12 plays netted them 0 total yards. That included a safety and a lot of just negative plays, 7 straight incompletions by Aaron Rodgers. The offense looked like it was just going to be one giant dumpster fire once again. Instead of remaining stuck in the mud, they fell behind 11-0. They came to life, which is something I got to be honest, I didn't expect. My question is, be honest, at 11-0, when it was 11-0 Washington, and the whole crowd is chanting, you like that, which is in support of Kirk Cousins, obviously, what were you thinking? And what I was thinking was, here we go again. And, you know, I feel like a fan that has very little faith. I'll be honest with you guys. I have two sides of me when it comes to football. There is an analytical side, someone who can see the games objectively, or so I feel, and pick those games accordingly. That went out the window at 3:40. I was in full-on F the Redskins, go Pack, go mode. And it's a much better mode for me to do that because I want to enjoy the games, and that's how you should do it. I think if you sit back and just wait for them to lose, the game gets unenjoyable that way. But at 11-0, I'm thinking in my head, okay, for this show, do we start talking about the draft? Do we talk about free agents? Who's going to get fired? Who might get replaced? Things of that nature. I really thought this show was going to be an ugly one. I thought that the defense, because we're so conditioned to think that the Dom Capers defense falls apart in the playoffs, and maybe they've earned some of that. They obviously haven't played well in some big games in the past, but they held their own. They did things well and waited for the offense. Then the second quarter hit. Packers were with the win. They played up-tempo, and all of a sudden everything was different. But Jason, Mr. Doom and Gloom, a.k.a. Realistic, whichever way you want to look at it, at 11-0, what were you thinking?
Well, I came into today kind of with that I don't expect much because I picked Washington to win this game 35-14 and with the Packers scoring a garbage time touchdown late. So I got the score somewhat correct. And so I went into this, and, you know, obviously with some of the stuff that's going on in, outside of football in my life right now, I mean, there's nothing but the boxes and shambles around this house. So it was a little bit of a different day for me. So I kind of went into it thinking, you know, I'm just going to take a break and watch some football, and I'm just going to enjoy it for what it is, because as much as I hate watching the Packers play poorly or not play well, this is the last time I'm probably going to get a chance to watch them play a real game for about 8 or 9 months. And so I want to at least take it in and enjoy watching the team play, because regardless of how they're playing, you know we're going to spend the 3 hours on Sunday watching them. Everybody says, oh, I'm not even going to watch next week if they play like crap. Or, you know, during the regular season, I'm not going to, you know, if they don't win this game, I'm not watching the rest of this season. Some people probably do that, you know, cut off their nose to spite their face. But I sat there, I was watching it, 11-0. I didn't feel good about it. It was kind of the same formula as we have seen before, where, you know, once again, the Packers offense allows themselves to get backed up. They've not been good inside their own 10-yard line this year. They can't run the football. They're too predictable. The pass rush is getting to them, and sure enough, right out of the gate. And I was a little surprised that Green Bay went with J.C. Treader at left tackle over some of the other options that they could have had. Obviously, they weren't going to put Josh Sitton back out there after the comments that were made this week. I think Mike McCarthy realized that wasn't a good idea. So they put J.C. Treader out there. They kept Brian Bulaga at his usual right tackle spot instead of moving Bulaga to left tackle, because he's a little bigger, a little more seasoned, and then stick Treader at right tackle, which is what I thought a lot of people would do, because David Bakhtiari was out again today. Gives up the sack safety. Those are the kind of momentum plays that just don't fare well for Green Bay. They have not faced adversity very well at all this season. And so I just said to myself, you know, the route is on. Here we go. All I cared about was, hey, just score more points than the Houston Texans did yesterday. And don't be the worst beat down of this weekend. You know, it was frustrating because, you know, I talk about trends all the time, and all three road teams heading into this game won. You know, we haven't touched on the Seattle-Minnesota finish, and that was very improbable, but all three road teams won. So, of course, it stands to reason that the Packers would lose, right? So all those things were going through my head. I'm with you, Jacob. I started thinking about the draft. I started thinking about some of the shows we could do, topics, and, you know, what am I going to do to fill my time in the freezing, frigid cold of Minneapolis. But it turned around. But, you know, case in point, to answer your question, yeah. I mean, the doom and gloom was there. You can go back and look at my Twitter timeline at that time and verify it was not pretty. And the Packers, once again, in all phases, were struggling. The defense was doing enough to get the ball back, but the offense just couldn't do a whole lot with it. The run game wasn't happening. Washington was fired up. It's all about momentum. Green Bay just didn't have a lot of it. So, obviously, things turned out well. But at that time, I was down in the dumps, for sure, 100%. 11 points to me, it might as well have been 30.
As was I, 11-0 felt like 31-0. Big moment in the game, Jason, you mentioned the safety. Following the safety punt, the Redskins appeared to score a touchdown when DeSean Jackson broke free on a crossing route. He ran to the pylon. His foot was inside the pylon, but the ball was not. And upon further review, they put the ball at the half-yard line. The run defense made two stops, which were nice to see. A false start penalty or delay a game penalty, a pre-snap penalty of some sort for the Redskins, moved him back, and Ha-Ha Clinton Dix broke up the pass in the end zone. That made it 5-0 instead of 9-0, which I know the Redskins ended up scoring to make it 11-0, but now you're talking 16-0, 15 or 16-0, pending the extra points if they went for two, stuff like that. But a much different game if they're able to do that. Big stop by the defense there, and then after that, after the 11-0 spurt, the offense started moving up tempo and kind of played schoolyard ball, moving the ball all over the place. Big play on that drive. James Jones had a 30-plus yard reception. He's continued to have a great season. I have contended that James Jones has earned at least another contract to come into camp and compete next year. We will obviously talk about that a lot as the offseason hits. And the Packers are still just one game away from the offseason hitting, so plenty of stuff to come when that time hits. But James Jones makes that play. Packers get a couple offsides penalties, one 12-man on the field penalty that ended up getting Rodgers out of the pocket. He throws a dart to Randall Cobb in the end zone. That makes it 11-7. They kicked a field goal after Mike Neal got a strip sack of Kirk Cousins at midfield. They moved the ball enough, but kind of stalled out. Kick a field goal. They force a punt on a hell of a play by Quentin Rollins. Rollins makes a play to dislodge the ball and stop him short of the first down marker. So the Redskins had to punt. The Packers scored a touchdown just before halftime. And I know it's not James Jones, but the touchdown right before halftime was Devontae Adams. So I feel like this is necessary, Jason. It's January. So in playoff games, all Devontae Adams does
is catch and make incredible touchdowns.
That is absolutely right. A guy that has taken so much crap all year long, and a lot of it's deserved. I'm not going to say that it's not deserved. But, you know, there are people making comparisons to Robert Ferguson and other receiver busts in the past. And, Jason, I know you've made that joke to me in a private conversation. But people, I mean, really suggesting that the Packers should move on from him after just two seasons because he wasn't the man this year. Devontae Adams is still only 23 years old. He had a lot of praise heaped on him in the offseason. I know expectations were high. I know Jordy's not here, and that sucks. Devontae Adams put together a really solid game today. He made a hell of a catch on the sideline to give the Packers a first down. Scored a touchdown right before halftime. They gave the Packers a 17-11 lead. So, again, I ask, Jason, at halftime, it's 17-11. Redskins are getting the ball first. What's going through your head there? What's going through my head is I don't know if this is sustainable, because I haven't seen the Packers put together this kind of offense lately. They scored 35 points today. That's the most they've scored since week three. They weren't running the ball very well, which is something they were going to have to do in the second half because you're going to try and milk the clock if you have the lead. Packers' leading rusher at halftime was Randall Cobb with a grand total of 8 yards. They didn't run the ball at all in the first half. They were able to make some plays through the air. That gave them a 17-11 lead. I didn't necessarily trust the defense in a close game. I had thoughts and nightmares of DeSean Jackson running behind the secondary. Jordan Reed on Micah Hyde, I said it all day. That was going to be pitch and catch, and it was. 9 receptions, 120 yards. To be fair to Micah, I think if the Packers put just about anybody on him, that's what would have happened. Jordan Reed's a special talent at tight end. But I felt good about it, but, I mean, it wasn't like I was like, okay, the Packers are back. This game's going to be a smoke show. Jason, how did you feel at halftime?
Felt a little better at halftime because I could start to see some of the confidence and momentum building, you know, because the first touchdown to Cobb was the most Rodgers-esque throw that I've seen. You mentioned week three in the point total. I mean, probably not long after that was the last time I've seen Rodgers make a throw like that and make a play like that. And then he cracked a smile, and it's like, oh, man, watch out if Rodgers gets his mojo back. But, you know, I don't get too far ahead of ourselves here. I was feeling a little bit better. To me, I'm a huge proponent of the free possession and not letting the opposing team do anything with it. So Green Bay won the toss. They elected to take the ball first. I'm a bigger fan of starting on defense, but that's just me. So knowing they're going to start on defense, the big thing for me was you got to shut this series down. You got to shut this thing down. The defense can set the tone in the second half. So it was anticipation for me because I was like, this is obviously not a good enough lead. You know, it's the Green Bay point cap right there. Like, they're at 17, so that's about it. You know, I don't know that they're going to score many more because they haven't been. So I felt a little bit better, but it was all about what they were going to do in that first possession. So I was, you know, and again, I still kind of had my, hey, we're far from this being, you know, a good situation for the Pack. You know, they've got a lot of work to do. They've got to, you know, they're going to have to build on a lead. They're going to have to do some things we haven't seen them do before. And at that point, I wasn't confident necessarily that it was going to happen. But I felt like the defense was playing well enough. You know, I see some of these young guys coming up today, and I want to give a lot of credit to Demarius Randle and Quentin Rollins, who both as rookies, you know, again, these young players are doing well. You know, give Joe Witt a lot of credit too, the cornerbacks coach. He's got these guys ready to play and play at a high level and to play well in a playoff game. This is their first season. The lights are not too bright for them. And so those kind of things kind of gave me confidence at that point that they could overcome the loss of Sam Shields, who was out yet again this week. You know, things like that. I was feeling a little bit better, and I think, you know, I don't know why. I didn't really have a whole lot of reason to think that things were going to improve. But I, for some reason, I felt like if they come out defensively and they get that stop, they can springboard this offense and we can start to do some things. Because I saw these guys in the first half, they finally started making some plays. I saw these guys starting to play like, hey, you know, we're going to play fourth quarter football in the second quarter. I mean, I think that was their best second quarter all season long. That's the one 15-minute period that has absolutely befuddled this offense all season long. So for them to do that, to me, it was like, hey, now if they have their typical fourth quarter. And then I was thinking about the wind, too. You mentioned the wind. There weren't a lot of people talking about it, but it was pretty windy out there. I mean, you saw the ball fall off the tee several times. Kickers had to have a holder on almost every kickoff. So that was a factor, and I think Green Bay had the wind at their back in the second and the fourth quarter. And so all that stuff was going through my mind, and I'm like, well, the factors are there. They just need to make the plays. Obviously ended up doing it, but the confidence at that point was building for me, and I was starting to feel a little more optimistic. I will say this. I did mention Robert Ferguson in comparison to Devontae Adams, and obviously they're two completely different guys. And I think I also said, too, that, you know, I think Devontae Adams has already accomplished everything that Robert Ferguson did in his entire time in Green Bay, which was several years. Ferguson wasn't terrible. He just was not a great complement number two to Javon Walker and some of the great seasons that Walker had as a Packer. I think of 2003, 2002, some of those magical seasons. But, you know, Robbie Fur had a couple of nice games for the Packers, and then he went to the Twin Cities and became a Viking, and then he was dead to me. So I'll close it out with that.
Fair enough. Really a tale of two halves for the Packers offense. Aerial attack in the first, ground and pound in the second, which makes me want to throw up because I had plenty of arguments this weekend about how establishing the run isn't as relevant in the NFL. Now, I still agree with that, and I think the Packers started running the ball well after they had possessed a lead. So I still believe in that frame of offense. But Eddie Lacy, big second half. James Starks, big second half. Both had a touchdown. By the end of the game, they had rushed for combined over 100 yards. Like I said, the leading rusher at halftime was Randall Cobb with 8 yards. Cobb got some carries out of the backfield. But really, Lacy and Starks, when the offense is going to line up and ground and pound you, it's got to be Lacy or it's got to be Starks. Cobb is a nice change of pace back there. He's kind of, sort of, their version of Shane Vereen out of New England or Darren Sproles out in Philadelphia. You got a couple different names that obviously could come to mind for that sort of role. But big play in the second half was Eddie Lacy gets a 4th-and-1 carry, cuts back to left. And, Jason, all season long we've talked about the short yardage offense. I thought for sure they were going to get stuffed on that play. Lacy rips off a 30-yard run inside the goal line. Stark scores on the next play with a toss. Lacy scores on a run later in the game. Really kind of put the thing on ice, gave him a 2-score lead. Nice to see them be able to do both, though, because this year, really, for the most part, they haven't had both things working. Chicago in week 1, they kind of did. Kansas City, they kind of did. But for the most part, they haven't been able to run and throw it in the same game all season. Really nice to see those guys make a play, and they really had a wide variety of guys make a play. That's on offense and defense. Now, Jared Abadaris had a bad drop early, but kind of showed you his potential later in the game. Made a really nice move in the slot after the Eddie Lacy touchdown. The Packers went for 2. Abadaris was wide the hell open. I mean, nobody anywhere near him. That was really nice to see. But I think that as much as we could talk about the skill guys, and believe me, they've earned almost every bit of criticism they've gotten this season. The group that's gotten a lot of criticism the last couple of weeks is the guys up front. And I want to give those guys some love because the last 2 weeks they gave up 13 sacks. The Redskins' pass rush wasn't exactly awful. You know, they're not facing Lawrence Taylor and Derek Thomas on the outside, but the Redskins do have capable pass rushers. They had J.C. Treader playing left tackle, and I thought for sure it was going to be a dumpster fire after the first series, or after the series where Rodgers was sacked in the end zone for a safety. Treader obviously played tackle in college, but not really left tackle. Not really built to be a tackle in the NFL. They only gave up 1 sack. Rodgers had time in the pocket, had clean pockets to throw to, or throw from, hit open receivers, and then they controlled the running game late in the game when they were trying to grind out the clock. Save for a fumble by Eddie Lacy, that offensive line, well, that's not really the offensive line's fault, but the offensive line dominated the game, and they would have been able to grind out the clock just like that. I think they deserve most of the credit for what happened today, really, because you saw when the Packers' offensive line plays well, their offense can still do some things. Now, is it as dynamic as it used to be? No. But they could still do some things. They made some plays down the field. They made some intermediate routes work. You know, they had some different stuff that they did. They ran the smoke screens to Adams. They got some yards after the catch. They were able to run the ball late in the game, like I said. J.C. Treader played very well today. I thought the offensive line as a whole played well today against a good pass rush. And they better be ready because they're going to see a very ugly tape tomorrow morning when they come in for meetings because the last time these two teams played, Arizona and Green Bay, Rodgers was sacked 8 times, and it was ugly across the board. one thing I do want to give this coaching staff credit for. Oftentimes they are maligned for refusing to make adjustments, refusing to try different things. Mostly that's directed at the lack of difference in the wide receiving core. Devontae Adams, James Jones, and Randall Cobb get the majority of snaps. Today, Jared Aberderis played some more. I think Gannis got like a snap or two on the offensive side of the ball. But really, the last 2 weeks, you can call it desperation, you can call it adjustment, but Josh Sitton played left tackle this week. This week it was J.C. Tretter. Instead of sticking with Don Barclay as the left tackle, they were willing to do some different things. I think they deserve some praise for that, even if it should have been incredibly obvious a long time ago that Don Barclay is not a left tackle in the National Football League, and I don't even know if he's a professional offensive lineman anymore. But very good job by the big boys up front. Jason, you got anything to add for the big guys?
One thing I want to add in is just that you're going to see a game ball thrown at J.C. Tretter because he gave up the sack safety early and then settled in and got it together. And when he came in relief earlier this season for Corey Linsley at center, he's a versatile guy. He's not your prototypical left tackle. I mean, I look at him and I just think to myself, like, he's barely a tight end. And he's just so undersized for what you need out of your typical left tackle in the NFL. But he played well. He made it work. You know, Rodgers wasn't clean all day. They credited Washington with only one sack on the day. But that was a great performance. And the reason why is because you could see in Aaron Rodgers' demeanor, I'll call it, in the, you know, his behavior in the pocket with the football, knowing that he had the time, he finally eventually said, hey, you know what, all right, I know I'm going to get X amount of time to throw. And so he didn't have problems. He was definitely on the run at times, but he definitely was able to settle in there, look for his receivers, and lo and behold, he made throws that we're used to seeing from him. So I really like the way the Tretter stepped up and kind of responded to the adversity there. And the rest of the offensive line, you know, I give credit to those guys because I know they're banged up. Sitton's got the back. Lang's got the shoulder. Bulaga's got everything. So I give those guys a lot of credit. They definitely turned in a good performance today for sure. If they can do that next week, I think we're going to see a very, very different outcome, you know, at least in terms of the gap between the two teams' scores next week in Arizona.
Absolutely. One note to add on T.J. Lang. He's been playing with a shoulder injury most of the season. That will require off-season shoulder surgery. But good job by those guys today. Jason, like you said, they're fighting through all kinds of injuries. One of the reasons we really do love football, these guys are still gladiators. They play hurt. They play injured. Really when most normal human beings wouldn't be able to do the same thing. Defensively, that's where this game really impressed me. Because, like I said earlier, the Dom Capers defense is much maligned. And like I said, that's deservedly so. It's not like they've been a shutdown defense and the Packers have only scored 13 points and they've lost because of that. But they gave up the 11 early – well, really, they gave up 6 early points, if you just say the touchdown, because 5 of the Redskins' points early were set up by the safety. They played really well. Their pass rush was gigantic. They had 5 sacks today, 1.5 from Clay Matthews, 2 from Mike Neal, and 2 from Nick Perry. Nick Perry, I think, played one of his best games as a Green Bay Packer today. Julius Peppers was in his face all day. Mike Daniels had half a sack. They were living in the Redskins' backfield. Whether that was the run game for the most part or rushing the passer, they were able to do a lot of good things with the pass rush. The only complaint I really have about the defense is they got their hands on a lot of footballs and weren't able to intercept any of them. Demaryius Randall had one that him and Morgan Burnett broke up each other. Morgan Burnett might have scored if he gets it. Randall, at minimum, saves him some field position. Micah Hyde dropped an interception in the end zone. It didn't end up scoring, and the game was kind of over by that point anyways. But still, if that's what you're complaining about, that's what you're complaining about, and that's not such a bad thing. Overall, Washington's offense was very good at home during the season. Quentin Rollins played well. Demaryius Randall played well for the most part. Ladarius Gunther came in and had a breakup after Quentin Rollins got hurt. And Casey Hayward might have played one of his best games as a Packer today. He had a near pick 6 on a hell of a catch by Jordan Reed. If Reed doesn't get his hand in the way, Hayward hits his face on the goalpost. I mean, it was a wide open lane. It would have been a pick six, and the Packers would have had all the momentum. Unfortunately, Reed caught the ball. He tackled well. He was good in coverage. I thought he played very well. Overall, Jason, how encouraged are you by this defense's performance going forward against a pretty good offensive team?
I don't think it's going to be the opportunities and the juggernaut that you saw today at towards the end there. You know, the Demaryius Randle, Morgan Burnett, you know, get out of each other's way, guys. I mean, it's hard enough for defensive backs to catch footballs because if they could, they'd be receivers. And it's funny because a lot of defensive backs were receivers. Sam Shields was. Richard Sherman was a receiver. So at one time they had hands, and then all of a sudden they became not so handsy. And we won't even go there with regards to Morgan Burnett because it seems like every time he either gets the ball in his hand or should have an opportunity to score with an interception, he's either sliding or not catching the football. So bad Jason for bringing that up. That was a little off-color humor there for you, but I'm encouraged. I think the defense has always played well this season. They stepped up and really performed well. I thought what was nice was the game got a little chippy. And there's an opportunity there for guys that you know that are a little bit more on the chippy side to potentially cause some problems. You got guys like Latrick Guyon, who's a little feisty. Mike Daniels can be feisty. Clay Matthews. You know, and these guys were definitely mindful of the fact that they didn't want a stupid penalty or something dumb. And I think, Jacob, if you kind of referenced discussing some of the other wild card games that happened this weekend, and there's one in particular, you know, penalties at this particular time of the year that are after the play, dead ball, those are the types of things that reveal the character of your team, and they will kill your season. And I was very proud of our defense for keeping their composure, staying tight with their assignments and being very, very sure with their tackling. You know, it was nice to not see a lot of missed tackles. It was good to see them playing some of their most sound football. I mean, Jake Ryan had a nice tackle. Quentin Rollins, before he got hurt, had a nice pass breakup. Demaryius Randle, another good day for him. Morgan Burnett was credited with 13 tackles today. He led the team. It's just amazing to me how his stats are off the charts. And again, you know, tackles are kind of arbitrary, and what is a tackle? I mean, a guy catches a ball and runs out of bounds, and you're the closest defender to him 10 yards away. Well, you get a tackle. But, you know, Morgan Burnett has quietly put together probably one of the most unsung seasons that on this defense this year. So I'm encouraged. I think with a game of tape of their actual matchup against each other, and if the Packers are able to get David Bakhtiari, Sam Shields back next week, you know, if Q is out, that's kind of saying Q being Quentin Rollins. I know Andrew Corliss also goes by Q. That's a bummer because he's been a contributor part-time, and I think that there's a lot to be had. But Jacob, not to get off topic here, but what about Casey Hayward today? Don't you feel like he's due for like some sort of a huge play? And he didn't get it today, but I don't be surprised if Casey Hayward has a huge, huge play against Arizona because he just seems primed. And he hasn't had a great season, hasn't been very good. I'm not very confident he's going to be back next year. And I joked at one point when the Packers weren't winning and they weren't playing well early in the game today, I said, take in all that is Casey Hayward in a Packers uniform because it's the last time you're going to see it. Defense is playing well. I mean, I think they're definitely going to come out with something to prove. They're not going to be looking to get pushed around again in Arizona. And if they're going down next week because Arizona's just a better team, it's not going to be because the defense rolled over.
I would tend to agree with that. I'm still skeptical because, like I said last week, there's four names that come to mind: Newton, Palmer, Rivers, and Manning. They face one of those guys again this week. It's Carson Palmer. And Carson Palmer this season has been one of the elite quarterbacks. It's a big challenge for them, but I don't think that you're going to see a 500-yard game where the Packers get boat raced because of it. The defense ultimately kept this team in the game. We've been conditioned to think they were going to blow us out. Once you fall down 11-0, if the offense can't go score for score with them, the offense didn't really go score for score with them early, and the defense kept them in the game, and then they slammed the door clean shut. Nice to see Clay Matthews getting healthy, running all over the place, making plays. Nick Perry, Mike Neal, I mentioned those guys. Julius Peppers showed up. I mean, there's a lot of guys that you can really credit on the defense today. Jason, I just have one question for you and all of our listeners, and I've said this about 900 times, I think, since the game ended, but that is, do you like that?
I do like that.
We like that. We like that Kirk Cousins is going home. That brings us to our next segment. That's the Mayfield Sports Play of the Game and the Waukesha Sports Game Ball. My Mayfield Sports Play of the Game is the James Starks touchdown. The Redskins, for those of you that don't remember, and we didn't really discuss it, they went right down the field and scored a touchdown on a quarterback draw to open the second half. Packers haven't really responded well to adversity all year. James Starks scored a touchdown. I mentioned the 4th-and-1 by Eddie Lacy, and then Starks scores a touchdown. That put the Packers ahead for good. My Mayfield Sports Play of the Game is the James Starks touchdown because of the way they responded to adversity. Jason, your Mayfield Sports Play of the Game is?
Well, I have to say also, it was interesting because normally these road games, the Packers fans have been very vocal, and you haven't heard a lot of Go Pack Go, and granted there wasn't reason to early in the game, but heard a lot of you like that from the Washington crowd early, and then you could hear kind of the Packers fans start to take over as the Washington fans filed out, and there was more of us than there were of them, which kind of always tends to be the case, so That was kind of an interesting side note to this game. It was, you know, this was one of those road games where there weren't as many, although I know Corey Behnke, one of our founders over at Cheesehead TV, was in the stands, and everybody probably heard Corey Behnke at one point or another. He's always the one that picks the Packers 60-0, and Packers roll is his entire write-up of the prediction of the entire game to come. So play of the game for me, first touchdown from Rodgers to Randall Cobb. It was, like I said, it was that Aaron Rodgers type of play, the throw, it was a free play, it caught the defense offside. It was everything that was working and going well earlier in the season that we were feasting on when they were 6-0 that got this offense back their groove, kind of like how Stella got her groove back, is how Rodgers got his groove back. His confidence started to go up. He cracked a smile. He was playing loose on the sidelines. And at that point, you know, the Packers weren't, you know, they weren't in any kind of major position to take this game. There was still some question about it, but all it takes is something like that for a team like this. And obviously Aaron Rodgers is the guy who feeds off of his success and who feeds off of good things happening. So to me, that was a big catalyst right there. And Randall Cobb, kudos for making a nice catch in the end zone. I mean, I said in my Rants and Raves column that went up yesterday, the day before the game, whatever day you're listening to, it was the day before the game, Saturday, Randall Cobb is going to have to be a huge factor in this game because I felt like the other receivers just aren't capable. We didn't know Devontae Adams was going to have the day that he did. Thank goodness that he did. We didn't know James Jones was going to have the day that he did. Thank goodness that he did. Jared Aberderis with the two-point conversion. The receivers showed up to play, made some catches. Richard Rodgers had a catch or two. But Randall Cobb, to me, needed to be a catalyst. And this is, you know, maybe not a discussion for this show, but during the offseason, we're going to have to talk about Cobb as a running back. He made his mark today, both out of the backfield and as a wide receiver, did exactly what it was that I thought he needed to do. But that play right there, to me, if they go on to greater things, they go on to bigger things, and everyone wants to look at a turning point this season, I think that first touchdown to Cobb is when you started to see the offense roll. And from that point, I think they scored on 5 of their next 6 or 5 of their next 7 possessions. So, to me, Mayfield Sports Play of the Game, Rodgers to Cobb, first touchdown of the day.
Absolutely, it's a good play as well. So our Mayfield Play of the Game, I got the James Starks touchdown. Jason has the Cobb touchdown that opened the scoring. And one thing about the game, really, you mentioned Randall Cobb. There was a pass that Rodgers hit Cobb over the middle right before the end of the third quarter. And I saw something from Aaron Rodgers that I haven't seen in a long time. He had that confident, borderline cocky smile thing that he does. He had a strut in his step, and I'm just thinking, like, the first thing I said to him, I was like, there's my quarterback. Where's this guy been? I haven't seen this in forever. The Packers looked like they were enjoying playing together. Aaron Rodgers looked like a guy that was confident, borderline cocky. That smile, I know it's kind of body language police-esque, but to me it spoke volumes. Brings us to our Waukesha Sports Game Ball of the Game, and me, I'm going a little bit of a different route. Usually I would say I'd go with Aaron Rodgers because, Jason, like you said, he needed to elevate his play. I thought he did. I thought he handled the game very well. I thought he handled the adversity very well. I thought they made some adjustments in the game that were good. But I'm going to go with our guy here at Cheesehead TV, Adam Cech. For those of you that have not followed along, Adam Cech is fighting cancer right now. He had a surgery this week. Minor setback for a major comeback. Adam, if you're listening, and I hope you are, or that you do listen at some point. We're still rooting for you. We're still fighting for you. follow along our Twitterverse. We'll tell you some ways to kind of keep in touch with how Adam's doing, different ways you can contribute and help, things of that nature. So my game ball goes to Adam Check. Jason.
You know, with Adam being a colleague of mine, and I know we've mentioned it before and I've talked about it on Twitter, I also just want to say that Adam, you know, he keeps a great spirit. If you follow him on Twitter, he's still joking and handling all of this very well. And obviously our love and support goes out to Adam. I've written with him and been a colleague of his now for over 3 years. It's my fourth season with him on the team, back from the all GBP days with Jersey Al. He's a great guy. He really honestly is. And it's kind of, you know, me moving out to the Minneapolis area where Adam lives out there in the suburbs, you know, hopefully I'll get a chance to spend some time with him and do whatever I can for he and his family. His wife is fantastic. She and I have corresponded a little bit via Facebook, and they're going to be putting together some ways that you can support Adam, and we'll be definitely sharing those links and sending out all that information to everybody who wants to support him. You know, right now the family's just trying to keep everything together with the holidays and with Adam having had surgery, and you know, he's got his son and they've got a baby on the way in another couple of months as well. So there's a lot of things going on with that family, but couldn't be greater people, and want to wish Adam all the best. I know that he was watching he had to watch the game from his hospital room today. I know he wasn't thrilled about that, but he's on his way to progressing enough to be able to go home as he continues his fight. And I'm sure that he was cussing and throwing everything he could at the TV, but that's got to be a nice way to kind of get yourself ready to go home. A little Packers playoff victory there. So much love to Adam Check. Jacob, kudos to you for the game ball for Adam. If we're going to talk about a player today that deserves the game ball, yeah, I think Aaron Rodgers is an easy guy to give it to, but I'm going to go with Nick Perry. Nick Perry stepped up and had a huge game when it mattered the most. The only thing I didn't like today about Nick Perry is he borrowed Clay Matthews' bicep flex after one of his sacks, but that happened to be the dagger that ended up closing the thing out and really sealing the victory for the Pack. Nick Perry, and we've talked about this, Jacob, he just has games like this where we don't see or hear from him for a couple weeks, usually because he's injured. This season he's been able to play more, but when he shows up to play and he makes plays and makes an impact, he does it in a big way. I mean, there was this game, I remember the earlier this season, he's had a couple games where he's played really well. The Baltimore game in 2013 really stands out to me. He hurt himself in that game and missed some time, but he had a big sack fumble that he caused that helped the Packers. You know, they ended up beating the Ravens. It was the first time an NFC team has beaten the Ravens in Baltimore under John Harbaugh. I mean, he just does special things. If he could do it on a regular basis, obviously, it would be fantastic. But again, a converted defensive end in college comes in as an outside linebacker. Packers are going to have a decision to make with him. They did not pick up his fifth-year option, so he is a free agent after this season. And, you know, this is the kind of game in the playoffs, this is where you make your money. This is where your legacy gets carved out. So is Nick Perry about to get paid handsomely by some team that Green Bay just can't compete with because of his performance today? He was a huge reason why the defense had such a big day. Pressure on Kirk Cousins was another one of my key factors because there's just so many weapons in the Washington passing game. They were going to have to get to Cousins if they were going to have any success on defense and slowing down the pass. Nick Perry made it happen. First and foremost, game ball to number 53.
So game ball to 53 or number 12, but most importantly, game ball to Adam Check. Adam, Julianne, our thoughts and prayers are with you as you guys fight this battle together. And those are our game balls, Waukesha Sports Game Ball, Mark Mayfield Sports Play the Game, you need a Packers player, something to spice up your event, talk to those guys. Those sponsors, we like that. Let's go around the league now. Obviously, the Packers weren't the only team to play this weekend. I love Wild Card Weekend because it really has some of the hype and such of the Super Bowl without all the pregame nonsense that goes with it. There's four games. Obviously, the first one yesterday was a bit of a dud. We don't really need to talk about Chiefs and Texans, good for Andy Reid, I guess. I grew up with an Eagles fan. I know that Andy Reid's a big deal in Philadelphia, so good for him, good for Alex Smith. Not really a whole lot to see there. But the other three games were really intriguing. Obviously, the Packers, because we're Packers fans. But the other two games, Cincinnati against Pittsburgh, and then Minnesota against Seattle. Cincinnati-Pittsburgh ended really largely due to a lot of stupidity on the Bengals front. If there's anything I'm learning this week, Bengals going to Bengals and Vikings going to Vikings, because the Bengals had that game in hand like four different times. They blew it. I can't believe that they were in position to win that game with A.J. McCarron. But after Ben Roethlisberger exited with what is now believed to be a separated right shoulder, the Bengals really went on a run. They made it 16-15 at one point. They had the lead. Vontaze Burfict got an interception and really looked to have sealed the game. The Steelers still had three timeouts. Jeremy Hill fumbled on the first snap coming out of the interception, gives the Steelers another chance. Ben Roethlisberger returns because Landry Jones has been playing. Ben Roethlisberger returns. Leads kind of a drive, but it looks like he can't throw it really, really far down the field. Burfict gets a head-hunting penalty, which he's become known for. And then Pac-Man Jones gets a stupid penalty, and I don't really understand how Pac-Man got a flag and Joey Porter didn't. It kind of felt like the Steelers were baiting them into doing something stupid, and the Bengals obliged them. Chip shot field goal, Steelers win, they go to Denver. Vikings, that game was fun to watch for me because as much as I am a passing game guy, those frigid conditions are just fantastic. I love it. It's a part of history. Watching teams overcome the elements to try and win a football game. The Seahawks struggled the entire day. Russell Wilson made a big play on an ad-lib where a snap went behind him. It bounces to him. He hits Tyler Lockett. Sets up the first touchdown for the Seahawks. That made it 9-7. Adrian Peterson fumbles. Sets up a field goal. The Vikings get the ball back. They get a stop late in the game. Get the ball back with a chance to go win it. Pass interference penalty and a big play by Kyle Rudolph puts them in position to kick a 27-yard field goal from the left hash. And I'm sure you saw the jokes. Laces were in. Blair Walsh puts it wide left. Seahawks win 10-9. They earn a right to go to Carolina. It really feels like the Seahawks just have a horseshoe or rabbit's foot, name any lucky superstition-type thing close by, because they continue to win games in the luckiest of ways in the playoffs. But as they say, you know, good teams tend to make their own luck. Seattle won the game. Blair Walsh hooks it wide left. Paul Allen with another glorious Vikings losing call. Jason, like you said, you know, Minnesota season still ends before Green Bay's, even if only by virtue of the clock. Turns out not by virtue of the clock, because the Packers did win. But overall, say, what were your impressions of the first weekend of the playoffs? I mentioned, you know, Bengals going to Bengals, Vikings going to Vikings. Bad teams just find a way to do bad things, and that's what they did. Another thing I learned, teams with better quarterbacks matter. Jason, you mentioned earlier, Pete Bukowski said that, you know, you were picking Kirk Cousins over Aaron Rodgers. Well, in every game except for Packers game, I took the team with the better quarterback. Alex Smith is better than Brian Hoyer. Ben Roethlisberger is better than A.J. McCarron. And Russell Wilson is better than Teddy Bridgewater. Aaron Rodgers is better than Kirk Cousins. All four of those teams were the ones that won. This is a quarterback league. The first things you can look at, quarterback, head coach. Those two things should give you a key to who you think or who you maybe should be picking to win games the following week, and we will do our picks later in the game or later in the show, and you'll kind of see a trend for me again for the most part. But quarterbacks matter, and bad teams stay bad, and they find a way to do it all the time. So, Jason, what were your impressions of Wild Card Weekend?
Well, let's start with the right here with the game we're talking about right now, which is our Green Bay Packers against the Washington Redskins. This was it was about the quarterback play. You know, Kirk Cousins played so well at home. There was a lot of trends the Packers needed to buck in order to get this win. You talk about head coaching. You talk about the quarterback, all the talent. Green Bay got it done in a big way. Obviously, that's a huge win, and it's all about matchups. So as much as it hurt not to win last week, not to see the Packers win the division, get a win at home, stop a little bit of the bleeding from the Arizona game the week before when they got trounced. You know, unfortunately, the Vikings come out with the victory. Green Bay ended up with a better matchup and a better situation for themselves. You know, who knows how they would have fared playing at home against the Seattle Seahawks. The way the Seahawks played today in Minnesota, I think there's a chance if Green Bay had brought their A game that they probably could have competed and played well against Seattle. But thank goodness we don't have to answer that question, and we don't have to worry about the Packers having been eliminated by the Seahawks once again because the matchup didn't happen. So Green Bay travels to a little bit warmer, although very windy, Washington, gets a Redskins matchup. And, hey, you know, momentum. If it carries forward and Green Bay does something special, does something magical, you can point to all these different factors and all these different things that fell into place to kind of help that happen. Now, Jacob, remember earlier you were talking about DeSean Jackson and how his mental mistake at the goal line cost his team at least 4 or 5 points. Well, you'll remember, and again, this is not a comparison between this team and the 2010 team, but, you know, you never know what would have happened, like you said, if Washington goes up 16, 17, nothing, 18, nothing at that point. So in 2010, remember, DeSean Jackson had the big punt return against the Giants that knocked the Giants out of postseason contention and kind of helped, was one of the reasons why the Packers were able to get in addition to their beating the Giants and beating the Bears. So there's these little parallels there that are very interesting about that game. As far as the other games go, we don't even need to talk about Houston and Kansas City. Houston, how embarrassing. I understand that they have, you know, they've had issues, and but, I mean, 30 to nothing on your own home field, Brian Hoyer or not. You know, J.J. Watt was hurt. Come on. Show some pride and score some points. This was a terrible look for the Houston Texans, and they've had such bad luck in the playoffs. I have no idea what this means for that franchise and for Bill O'Brien and everything that's going on there. Someone had to win that division, and it ended up being Houston. But what a terrible performance there. The Kansas City Chiefs have now won 11 games in a row. Don't sleep on the Chiefs. We might be talking about them in Santa Clara in early February. I feel that strongly about how hot they are and how well they're playing, and it's amazing because we saw this Packers team whack that Kansas City Chiefs team around Lambeau Field. Jacob, you and I were in the stands for it all night long. There was a little bit of a comeback at the end, but there was no doubt about it. The Packers manhandled the Kansas City Chiefs, these same very hot Kansas City Chiefs that just bolt raced the Texans on the road, 30-0 in Houston. Cincinnati-Pittsburgh. You know, I went to ASU, and so I watched a lot of Vontaze Burfict when I was at ASU, and he did a lot of meathead, bonehead things then, a lot of personal fouls. He plays a certain way. There's a certain character to the way that he plays football. Adam Pac-Man Jones, we know, is kind of the same thing. The Bengals know when you're bringing players like that into your system, you might get some upside from them. And Burfict had an interception and a sack in that game. He was set up to be the hero. Cincinnati finally wins a playoff game under Marvin Lewis, and they get over the hump, and they beat the Steelers. They win a home playoff game. They exercise some of those demons. Vontaze Burfict is getting a game ball. He's getting his own Mayfield play of the game. He's getting his own game ball. Instead, stupid, stupid personal foul penalty that not only cost his team yards, eventually cost them the game in a way. I guess you could say there were several things that led to it, but he's going to be getting some mail from the league. The FedEx is on its way. And this is easily the fourth or fifth time that Burfict has been called out for unnecessary roughness, illegal hits, things like that. This is not going to be a small check that he's going to be writing out to the NFL. Absolutely embarrassing performance by the Bengals at home. Their fans were no better. Ben Roethlisberger is coming off the field after he's injured, and fans are throwing beverages on him. Classless, completely disappointed to see that. And I get that happens at every stadium, and I'm sure Packers fans have done some really dumb things as well. But that was a terrible look on national television for the Cincinnati Bengals. So Bengals gone to Bengal definitely applied in this game. It was absolutely disappointing. And today, what can you say? Again, Vikings, Seahawks, it was not so entertaining up until the very end. And all of a sudden, the Seahawks start scoring points again. You know, I kind of got a little envious because Russell Wilson drops a snap, picks it up, evades the rush, rolls out, finds a wide open guy, and it turns into a touchdown. You know, it turns into a long – I think that play turned into a touchdown. It was a long play, and if it wasn't, it was a long conversion. And it just – I sat there and I said, you know, that's kind of what Green Bay has had to do to produce offense. They've had to rely on some plays like that, but why can't they get stuff? Why can't they do stuff like that? Then a couple hours later, Packers come out and start playing some fantastic football. So who knows? You know, the Seahawks, like you said, they're very charmed. They've got this – you know, lucky stroke on their side, and I have no idea why, because I don't think Pete Carroll deserves it. Russell Wilson didn't even thank God after the game, so that was really disappointing, Jacob. I you know, Blair Walsh, you know, the one thing I have to say is that Blair Walsh, football is a team sport, and football is a game that is comprised of insert average number of plays. So, yeah, you can say Blair Walsh blew it. He lost that game because he didn't make that kick, but there were a lot of opportunities that the Vikings had to make plays. How about their stalwart, all-pro, unfortunately future Hall of Fame running back, Adrian Peterson, putting the ball on the ground yet again? Those are the types of things that people forget about when one guy has a bad moment like Blair Walsh. And I tell you what, you know, it's not as easy to kick a football as you think. You go line up with no one in the stadium, no pressure on you, no time clock, no nothing, and you tell me how many times you make that kick. Blair Walsh faced the music. He answered reporters' questions. He was very upset about it afterwards. Much respect to Blair Walsh. Have a lot of respect for Mike Zimmer and what he did with the Minnesota Vikings. They obviously won their division this year. He's got bigger goals for that team. Teddy Bridgewater had a really good season. I'm here to tell you the Minnesota Vikings are going to be in the conversation and in the equation for several years to come. So Packers fans, this was not a blip on the radar. That Minnesota Vikings team is coming, and they're coming strong. Seattle Seahawks, we all know about them. Now they're a hot team. I think the Cardinals are probably getting a little bit nervous because Seattle gets their rematch with Carolina in Carolina after the Panthers beat Seattle in Seattle earlier this season. You know, right now, Seattle's playing hot football, and they haven't had the week off. Carolina had the bye, but they're not a real playoff-tested team. So what kind of a matchup are we going to see there? I thought for a second we were going to see the Packers going to Carolina if they won their game today after Blair Walsh made that kick, if he had made that kick. And now, instead, they're coming to Arizona. So it was a fun weekend of football. But there was the good, the bad, and the ugly. Fortunately, most of the good happened on our side of the equation. And now, got to gear up for the Arizona Cardinals. There's nothing more to say other than got to get it done. You don't get to pick your opponents, so come to play.
And once again, I don't have much to say on that top. But, a lot of things around the league that changed over the weekend. The Packers look like they could have been destined for Carolina. And with one kick, there you go. They're in Arizona now. And I want to go, before I go into Arizona, because we'll obviously break that down a little bit more, Jason, we'll do picks around the league. Reminder for matchups, it's Kansas City in New England against the Patriots. It is Denver against Pittsburgh. That game will be in Denver. Peyton Manning is back. We'll see about Ben Roethlisberger. We've got, in the NFC, you've got Carolina and Seattle. And then obviously Green Bay and Arizona. Green Bay and Arizona will be on Saturday night. But Jason, real quick, we'll go just a quick three picks on those games. Kansas City, New England's where we'll start. I like New England in that game. I know you mentioned the Chiefs are hotter than all holy hell. But it's Foxborough, it's Tom Brady, it's Bill Belichick. Tom Brady, in my opinion, is the greatest quarterback that I've ever seen play. I call him the greatest quarterback of all time for that reason. I can't picture him losing a game to a team that I find inferior, especially if Jeremy Maclin's not going to play, because Kansas City's defense, I think, will be able to hold their own. But against the Patriots, you got to be able to score points. And without Maclin, I don't know how the Chiefs are going to score a bunch of points. So I like New England in that game, 20-10, especially if Maclin doesn't play. If Maclin does play, I think that's worth a touchdown, 20-17 in that case. Sticking in the AFC, Pittsburgh and Denver, and this is a key one to watch because the Steelers coming into the playoffs are seen as the most dangerous team in football. But now you've got Ben Roethlisberger with a separated shoulder, and you've got Antonio Brown, who was the recipient of that hit from Vontaze Perfect. He could have a concussion. He does have a concussion, I should say, and he may not be able to play this week. Concussions are unpredictable, as we've seen with Sam Shields. If Antonio Brown can't go, I know the Steelers have a deep receiving core. I know they still have Martavis Bryant. I know they still have Marcus Wheaton. I know Heath Miller is a solid option at tight end. Their running back situation is not solid either. D'Angelo Williams, Le'Veon Bell's replacement, who's been a godsend for them this season, is out. Their starting running back was Fitzgerald Toussaint, and Toussaint was average at Michigan. So that kind of tells you how I feel about him in the NFL. All these things, I'm really not sure. This is probably the game I'm most unsure of going into the weekend next week. But I like the Broncos. I think that Peyton Manning will do just enough against a defense that's not very good. It's kind of a hit-or-miss thing. If the Broncos can protect him, I think he'll be able to do some things against that defense with Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders. Maybe Vernon Davis can make a play down the middle of the field. I think they'll be able to run the ball just well enough. And that defense, if Landry Jones plays, that's the best defense in football. And we saw that firsthand when the Packers went to Denver and just got smoked by the Broncos. That defense is the real deal. I think they get after Landry Jones. I even pick the Broncos, I think, if Ben Roethlisberger is playing. I like that Broncos defense that much. I like Denver in this game, 27-21. Then the other game in the NFC is Carolina and Seattle. Great matchup from earlier in the season. Cam Newton against Russell Wilson, two MVP candidates. I think it's going to be a heck of a battle. I think this might end up being one of the best games of the weekend, like I said earlier. Carolina's 15-1, and they've got to be maybe the most disrespected, the wrong word, but it's the word I'm going to use, disrespected 15-1 team ever, because I've heard a lot of people talking about how, well, I'd rather play Carolina than Arizona. That's no disrespect to the Cardinals, but Carolina's 15-1. They can beat you on offense. They can beat you on defense. They can beat you on special teams. Seattle, to me, is the darling of the NFC. Like I said, they've got that horseshoe, rabbit foot, whatever thing. They're incredibly lucky. Luck has to run out at some point. I think it runs out this week. I think Cam Newton makes enough plays. I think that the Panthers' defense could shut down that Seattle running game, figure out a way to cover Doug Baldwin, and give the Seahawks really some fits on offense. I like Carolina in this game, 24-21. I like Graham Gano to hit a late field goal in that game. So, to recap, my picks are another Manning-Brady showdown for the AFC title in the AFC, and I like Carolina over Seattle, and we'll talk about the Packers momentarily. But, Jason, your picks?
Man, injuries changed a lot of things about this because I'm going to kind of go boring here, Jacob. I'm in agreement with you on all three now because of the injuries. Otherwise, my picks are completely different. If Jeremy Maclin plays, which he's got a significant knee injury, he's not going to play. I don't think he's going to play. May have already been ruled out. If not, I just don't think he's out there. And if he's not out there, I think Kansas City sees in this incredible run that they went on ends in New England. Like you said, it's Belichick, it's Brady. You and I could be out there running at wide receiver, and they'd somehow find a way to win a playoff game. I know they've lost some games at home to some really good teams, but those teams were at full strength. And unfortunately, Kansas City is missing a really key piece to their offense. And that's going to be the X factor there in that game. So I like New England. I don't know as far as a score goes, but I got to go with Denver over Pittsburgh because of the Antonio Brown concussion. If he's able to go at all, I question the concussion protocol. That was a nasty hit that he took. I mean, the look on his face when he got hit, it looked like he was almost knocked out midair. That was a nasty shoulder helmet that he took from Vontaze Burfict. An absolutely dirty, stupid, disgusting play by Burfict, and it's unfortunate because it's a big reason why the Steelers' season may end. And Ben Roethlisberger with the separated shoulder, the shoulder issue, you know, he said in his post-game comments that while he went back in the game, he wasn't able to throw anything deep. And with that kind of an injury over the course of 6-7 days, it's not going to be any better without your best offensive weapon in Antonio Brown. You're not going to be able to get it done with the over-the-middle stuff. I mean, you know, Bryant's a great receiver, but I don't think he's ready to carry the load yet. And then you just don't have your full slate at running back to roll with. I don't know if D'Angelo Williams is going to be out again, but I think Pittsburgh just gets snake-bitten by the injuries. Unfortunately, I think they would have given Denver a run for their money, and I think they possibly could have pulled off the upset. But I got to go with the Denver Broncos, so we're in agreement there with Manning Brady one more time for the AFC. Which is fantastic because this may be the last season that we see Peyton Manning playing, although he says he wants to come back. Of course, he wants to go out on his own terms. So, but that should be a pleasure and a treat for all of us. And then on the NFC side of things, you know, I kind of wanted to ride Seattle because they're playing so hot. But after the way they played today against Minnesota and with Carolina's defense the way that they are and Cam Newton running that offense and with, you know, more – weapons in the passing game, although Doug Baldwin has been a great receiver for the Seahawks, but I think that Carolina's defense and their offense is not going to be so forgiving for some of the mistakes that Seattle was able to get away with. I think a defense like Carolina's gets to Russell Wilson when he drops that snap, and he's not able to get off a magical pass like that. And I think you got a guy like Josh Norman in the secondary. He's not going to let Lockett catch that ball. Those are the types of things that are going to go against the Seahawks that have been working for them over the past couple of weeks. And so their season ends. They will not be in the NFC Championship game for the first time in 2 years. And you're going to see the Carolina Panthers hosting the NFC Championship game, and they're going to be playing the winner of the Green Bay and Arizona game this upcoming weekend. So kind of the same thing. You know, I think at the end of it, I kind of wanted to go with a West theme, and pick the Seahawks just so you could, I could say the AFC West and the NFC West, two, you know, those teams duking it out for the right to go to the Super Bowl, but just can't go with the Chiefs, and I can't take the Seahawks. So, unfortunately, that's where it's at. We got the same three teams there, and now on to, obviously, the big matchup, which is Packers-Cardinals, game of the week, and kick it back over to you. I don't know. It's a different one, but I don't know if the result's going to be different, but I think the score is probably going to be a little bit different, and that's important too.
Absolutely different. So there you go, guys. We like New England, Denver, and Carolina to advance out of those three. And I get the feeling we're going to pick the same for Arizona and Green Bay. So my advice to you guys, bet the opposite. Although I was 3-1 this weekend for my playoff picks, whatever that's worth for you. The only one I lost was Green Bay. So oddly enough, there it is. Packers-Cardinals, obviously they played a couple weeks ago. Packers were embarrassed. It was 38-8. Rodgers was sacked 8 times. That storyline is going to be put over and over again, how they got boat raced in Arizona. Different week, different game, and even different teams. So, Jason, they got blown out last time. What reason, if any, do you have for confidence here? And mine would be, feasibly, you can go with the hot team theory here because the Packers have won the last game they played, and they played pretty well doing so, and Arizona got blown out by Seattle the last time they played. And I know Seattle is a good football team, but this isn't the Seattle Seahawks of a couple years ago that won the Super Bowl, and they aren't better than the team that won or was in the Super Bowl and a yard away from winning it last year. This is an inferior football team to both of those teams. Green Bay could be considered a hot team. I think that they'll play better on offense. I don't think Rodgers will get sacked every time he drops back. I don't think he'll be under pressure every time he drops back. Don Barclay is not going to play in this game, knock on wood. Josh Walker probably won't play in this game either. Maybe they get Bakhtiari back. Maybe they can get a rhythm going on offense. The defense was able to do some okay things against the Cardinals the last time they played until the game got out of hand. I think they can slow them down a little bit, but not enough. Much like last week, I'm picking the season to end. I like Arizona in a much closer affair, 34-27. I think the Packers will be able to put up points, but it won't be enough. I think Arizona is a very good football team, and I like them to win this week, 34-27. So my picks for the week, again, Carolina, Denver, New England, and Arizona over Green Bay. That would mean the championship games will be hosted in Carolina and Denver, respectively. Jason, are you picking different than I am?
I am not picking different than you are. So then that means it's 1-2 in both conferences, despite a wacky, crazy playoffs. And I think, again, injuries, unfortunately, and in a way you could say the same thing for the Packers, just had some injuries at some unfortunate times. But I think that they're going to have a good opportunity to play a much better game against the Cardinals this upcoming week. I have faith that we're going to see Sam Shields back. I really hope so because I like Sticky a lot, and I'm very concerned that he's missed almost a month of football from this concussion. It's just another illustration of how tough and dangerous this game can be. And it wasn't even on a helmet-to-helmet collision. It was on a tackle that he made where he just happened to slam his head to the turf. There's a lot of that goes on. You get into these winter games, although it'll be in Arizona, so it's not necessarily a cold weather game. And, you know, you hit the turf, that hurts. It's a tough game. So, but hopefully Shields can get back, Bakhtiari can get back. I do think Arizona's defensive front, despite having the game film in the last game and being able to change up the protection a little bit, and even if the screen game, the offense is able to be a little bit more productive and the run game is more productive, I do think that the X factor is going to be Arizona's pass rush, which was something the Packers struggled mightily with last time. I think there were 9 total sacks in the game, 8 of which were suffered by Aaron Rodgers. He just had no time to throw the football, had nowhere to go with it. And if you don't get outside the tackle box, you got one choice. You can either take a sack or throw it to an open receiver and hope they catch it, or you throw a pick, or you get intentional grounding and you lose yards and you lose it down. So pick your poison. And I think Arizona's pass rush is just too tough. And despite some improvements, like I said, some changes that Green Bay can make, I think Arizona comes out on top. But I like Arizona a little more closer to 27-17. I don't think they'll get to 30. I think Green Bay's defense will come in with a little bit of a better game plan for Arizona's passing attack. I think the big thing that Green Bay is going to have to do is they're going to have to decide what they want to take away from Arizona. Do they want to bottle up David Johnson, or do they want to try to take away the passing game? I personally think if you take the run game away, you give yourself more opportunities with a quarterback who's forced to throw and has to chuck it up there 45 times in a game. It's not something Carson Palmer does well, and he's a great quarterback, Jacob, like you mentioned earlier. He's a really good quarterback, but he can be had, and he can make mistakes. So I think Green Bay's best bet is to force Arizona to throw, take the runaway, take your chances with these DBs coming up with a big play. Like I said, Casey Hayward seems primed for a really big play, and it would be pretty cool if the defense was able to kind of turn the tide in this one because they had a really big play. But still, got to pick with my head and not my heart. I'm going 27-17 Cards, and they'll face the Carolina Panthers for a chance to go to Super Bowl 50 in Santa Clara.
I don't know if you guys could hear that over the phone, but that is Randall Cobb yelling, "You like that," in the locker room after the game. I had to play that because I found it to be hilarious. But as Jason mentioned, we both like Arizona next week. We both like all the same teams, New England, Denver, Carolina, and Arizona. So bet the opposite is what I would advise you to do. And with that, that is going to end today's show. Be sure to check out PackersTalk.com for all your latest Packers news and podcasts. You can follow the show on Twitter at Pulse of the Pack. You can follow me personally. I'm at Jacob Westendorf. You can follow Jason at Jason Perrone. We want to thank our sponsors, Mayfield Sports Play, Mark Mayfield Sports and Waukesha Sports. Our Play of the Game and Game Ball is dedicated to them every single week. Our Game Ball this week, once again, goes out to Adam Check. Adam, keep fighting, buddy. We believe in you. And we definitely believe that you can beat this. Adam, Julianne, thoughts and prayers with you guys as well. Packers, Cardinals, 7:30. Saturday night, quick turnaround. Don't be planning to go out and enjoy a bunch of beverages without watching the game at the same time. Packers and Cardinals will be a Saturday night, 7:30 kickoff in the desert. Packers trying to avenge a 38-8 boat race, butt kicking, whatever term you want to use the last time they went out there. Should be a hell of a weekend, divisional playoff weekend again, another one of my favorite weekends in football because you really get to kind of separate the cream of the crop. The cream rises to the top. Just for a couple scenarios here, if Carolina wins, Green Bay goes to Carolina. If Seattle wins and Green Bay wins, the game will be at Lambeau Field against the Seattle Seahawks. I can't help but think a lot of you guys are rooting for that opportunity one more time for a little bit of revenge. I am one of those people. Thank you, guys. We appreciate our listeners. Give us some comments, feedback, concerns, things of that nature. We want to thank you guys for listening to the show all season long. We don't go away once the offseason hits. Whenever that hits, we'll still have a show. We'll still have stuff to talk about. But for now, it's Packers-Cardinals. That's where our focus is at. We both like the Cardinals in that game. Hopefully we're wrong just like we were this week. I will be more than happy to eat crow. Jason, want to wish you good luck moving out to Minneapolis. Good luck with the cold, and I hope you have a shovel. But thank you guys once again. Jason, do you have anything you want to add before we sign off?
I do, in fact, have a shovel and a windshield scraper. I'm good to go. I'll be raring and rocking and rolling Saturday, Jacob, same time, 7:30 p.m.
Packers, Cardinals. Thank you guys for listening to Pulse of the Pack.
Of the Pack Podcast.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice. Hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Card.
If the Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signings.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.